Our first scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is the truth?" For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
So our next scripture reading comes from the next chapter in the Gospel of John, John 19. Your bulletin says selected verses. So I just want to give us a brief context here with these verses. After Jesus and Pilate had the conversation that we just heard that ended in, well, what is truth? That's where the story gets rather complicated and convoluted, because Pilate is doing his best to not kill Jesus, while the church authorities are doing everything they can to have Jesus killed. But they don't want to kill Jesus. They want Pilate to kill Jesus. That's the way the story is told. And so there's this back and forth as Pilate tries to give them opportunity to not kill Jesus. But they keep on insisting. And this is about where our reading from the 19th chapter of John picks up. And I'm going to include one verse that I had not originally wanted to include, but I'll start from there. From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the stone pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. And he said to the Jews, "Here is your king." And they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" And Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, King of the Jews, but this man says, I am King of the Jews." And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Throughout human history, when given a choice between God and a king, supposedly religious people nearly always choose the king. We see it in history. We see it in our scriptures. As a matter of fact, this story that we read in John of the drama that precedes the crucifixion of Jesus is very similar to a text that's back in the Old Testament in the 8th chapter of Samuel, 1 Samuel. And this is the place where the people come to Samuel and they say, "We want a king." Because up until this point, the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, had been governed by a group of judges. And Samuel was the chief judge. But his sons, who were also judges, had become quite corrupt. And so, as an alternative to this corruption, the people come to Samuel and say, "We want a king." And Samuel says, "Why do you want a king?" And their reason for wanting a king is very, very interesting. They say, "Because we want to be like everybody else. Everybody else has got a king that leads them into battle. And we want a king too. We want a king to lead us into battle." So Samuel goes to God and says, "God, these people want a king. I don't know what to do." They say, "Give us a king." And God says to Samuel, according to the story, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me." Just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice only. You shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of a king who shall reign over them." And I want to read this portion of 1 Samuel to you because I want you to hear these words from Scripture, not from me. Samuel goes to the people and he said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks. You shall be his slaves, and in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. If you want to summarize that whole list, read the first 3-4 words of each phrase, and all the king does is take, 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 take. We want strong men to rule over us and protect us. We even want women who rule to be strong men. But ultimately, we want God to reflect our idea of a king. Which is to lead us into battle. And then we claim our leaders are anointed, chosen, sent by God. Even when it's pertaining to peace. We want a prince of peace. Isn't it interesting how peace only gets a prince? But war gets a king. Today, for those of you who don't know, and we haven't really made notice of it, today is the last day of the church's liturgical year. Today is Christ the King Sunday. You'll notice that our hymns, some of our liturgies reflect this. And on Christ the King Sunday is usually the Sunday when we roll out all of the church's imperial language that we have used for centuries to talk about who God is and who Jesus is. King of kings, Lord of lords. Our liturgies, our hymns, the language of the church, the imperial language of the church, comes out in its fullness on Christ the King Sunday. It reminds us that we still choose and even demand to have a king. Even when our own forms of government are designed to prevent this, our own republic democracy here in the United States is designed to keep us from having a king, but we always try to circumvent it because we will do anything and everything to have a strong man lead us. Even to the point of the church capitulating and using the language of anointing and chosen and the Word made flesh. But the stories of the Bible tell us, and history always tells us that the king takes, and in the end, the people will be saying, "Save us from this king." It's a story that keeps getting repeated over and over and over. And we're in that story. I'm not sure where you personally think you are in the story, but you're in it. We're all in it somewhere in the story. Many of us are part of the imperial church that still insists on that language that makes God a king, that turns Jesus into royalty, who comes and vanquishes our enemies and saves us from destruction. But the biblical texts that are offered to us today tell us a different story. They tell us a story of a God who says to Samuel, "Let the people have their way. I've been rejected before. I can take rejection, because I know sooner or later they will be crying out." And Jesus says to Pilate, and I want to make a little grammatical distinction here. I had to make a note about this because as Kathy was reading that text again today, it just jumped out at me that when Pilate says to Jesus, "So you are a king," and Jesus says, "For this I came." And for some reason, we have always wanted to have that little prepositional phrase refer back to being a king. And we use that phrase to say, this is Jesus claiming to be a king. When grammatically, it is absolutely false. The "this," "for this I came to testify to the truth." That's what the "this" is, to testify to the truth, not to be a king. And he emphasizes that by saying, "My kingdom, my reign is not of this world." And "not of this world" doesn't mean in heaven or someplace else. "Not of this world" means not of imperial power. My kingdom is not about imperial power. Because if it was, Jesus says, I would have soldiers out there fighting for it, and I don't. My kingdom is about truth. My kingdom is about justice. My kingdom is about mercy and righteousness and equality. All of the things that he's been teaching and preaching. And again, the people choose a king. We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. I think there's a real good reason why we end the liturgical year with Christ the King and these texts. Now, the imperial church will tell us that we end with Christ the King because we have finally come to raise Jesus up. But the biblical text tells us that we celebrate Christ, the King of a kingdom so different from imperial kingdom that we have trouble seeing it. And it actually frightens us. Because Jesus says, give of yourself. Empty yourself. And then next week, we start all over again. So it seems like the liturgical year is a microcosm of human destiny, of our lives. We are called into service. We are called into the presence of God in our own lives through the stories of incarnation. Then we are called into the life of Jesus, and we are called into the death of Jesus, and we are called into new life through Jesus. And by the time we get to the end of the year, we're choosing a king again. So we have to start all over. Just like God says, give them what they want. Eventually, they will realize that I am what they need. Christ the King Sunday is a day to remember that when you follow Jesus, you will be going against the grain of imperial religion. And my friends, there's a whole lot of imperial religion around us today. Even in our own worship services. Now, does that mean we just throw it all out the window? Absolutely not. But what it does mean is that we put on different glasses. So that when we see this language, we can see behind it. Perhaps even offer alternative language at times. But definitely to see behind it and say, the kingdom of Christ is not the kingdom of this world. And next week, we get a chance to start all over again. Amen. If we pay close attention, even the imperial language of the church has a subversive nature to it, because we sing of a throne, but it's a cross. We sing of a crown, but it's of thorns. We sing of victory, but it's coming to terms with death. Even in Jesus' time, they didn't understand. There's a little story where the disciples of John the Baptist go to Jesus after John the Baptist has been arrested and he's locked up. And John the Baptist he's just wondering. He says, is this really the guy? Is this the Messiah? Which is just another Old Testament word for king, the Savior, Is this the Messiah? Go ask him. I need to know. And so his disciples go and ask Jesus, say, Jesus, are you the one? John wants to know, are you the one? And Jesus says, you go tell John what you see and what you hear. You go tell John that lame people are walking and blind people are seeing and prisoners are being set free and hungry people are eating and naked people are being clothed. And that's exactly what we should be looking for. If we're looking for a leader, if we're looking for a kingdom, we should ask ourselves those same questions. And that will lead us in the right direction toward truth. Amen.